I'm going to have to bash on here. We're going to have to talk about this final signing. We'll just breeze through this one. It's no biggie. On the signings front, this was probably the most welcome of all. Listen, I've always rated this guy. I never said a bad word about him. and after what I believe has been a year out of playing professional ice hockey, Chris Higgins returns to the Belfast Giants, and in a marathon day of interviews, Davey stepped up again, because let's be fair, he needed a bit of closure on the reasons why Higgins left in the first place.
I said on the 12th of June 2014, when I woke up to find this man had signed in Nottingham, it was like finding your best mate in bed with your sister. But less than a year later, it turns out it was all a bit of a bad dream, and he's back in the Odyssey for next season. So it's great pleasure to welcome back for next year number 68, Chris Higgins.
Hey guys, yeah, thanks for having me. I'm pretty excited to be back in Belfast. And yeah, Davey, if I knew that I was going to hurt you that bad, I would have never left.
Was it an easy decision for you when Steve called, to come back again?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I talked to Kiefer a little bit as well. And then, when I came back to Boston, Thorpe's got in touch with me. And, we had a quick conversation. And, I was pretty excited. It didn't take too long to come to a deal. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited to come back to Belfast for sure.
Higgy, let's not ignore your departure from Belfast. How did you feel when you saw that most of the championship roster were being given new deals, and you'd came up with a good lot, 60 odd points in 50 something games? You must have felt you deserved at least the opportunity to come back to try and defend the championship.
Yeah, I did, but that's business, that's hockey. One person can love you, the other person can not think too highly of you. So, yeah, I know it's part of the business, and there's no hard feelings there, obviously, for with me coming back. It was a little tough at first. I'll admit, when I was a little nervous coming back to Belfast, I didn't know what to expect, but after thousands of boos coming your way after the first game, I started to enjoy it a little bit. But I always had that thought in the back of my mind, that it would be great to at some point in my career come back and play in Belfast. And it's such a great fan base and a great organization that I'm excited to get back at it.
Well, talking of the boos, it seemed to spur you on, and you certainly weren't shy in letting the Giants fans know, when you'd done a bit of damage to us, both in the NIC and in Belfast. I distinctly remember, sort of one finger salute to the Giants fans in the NIC in the away block.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the type of player I am. I kind of strive on stuff like that, and it makes me want to work that much harder. That if someone's trying to stick it to me, then I'm going to come back and try to stick it twice as hard. So I'm sure, obviously, there's no hard feelings. I got to enjoy it. There's great people in Belfast. I understood that people booing is that's part of the game, and people weren't happy. And sometimes people don't know that the real story with what's going on, but it was never about like me being a traitor or anything like that, the boos, it was a little tough at first. It was a little different, but after that, I think I started to just kind of strive up and had some fun with it.
You'd built yourself up a bit of a cult following in Belfast, and to be honest, that may well have went against you when Killer was recruiting the last season's team. But had you any idea of the heat that you'd take for, you could have signed for any team in the world but Nottingham?
Yeah, no, to be honest, like I said, after just playing 1 year, in the Elite League, I knew how passionate the Belfast fans were. But, I didn't really realize that the fans and everyone kind of disliked Nottingham that much. But now after playing there for a year and hearing all the boos from the Belfast fans, I can see that, it definitely, was meant a lot to them. And I didn't mean to, hurt any Belfast fans or anything like that. like I said, this game is a business, and, you know, on both ends, you know, guys want to be paid for, you know, how they play, and at the same time is that, you know, GMs and people, coaches making decisions, sometimes, you know, they have a different vision in which way they want to go with the team, and, you know, that's just part of the business.
And do you think you'll be feeling any extra pressure, you know, stepping back into Belfast? There's going to be a weight of expectation in your shoulders, you know, after a very good season with us. And last season when you weren't there, you know, your name was mentioned almost every week as potentially being that piece of the puzzle that was missing. And what was a disappointing season for the Giants last year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's always going to be pressure. You know, I felt like there's been pressure, you know, there's pressure on guys who are impact players, you know, every year. And that's just something that, you know, good players strive off of, and they enjoy it. And, you know, listen, I've been playing hockey my entire life. You know, it's like, you know, riding a bike for a lot of people. You know, I know my strengths. You know, I know what it takes to be successful, you know, as a player. And, you know, every summer I come back in you know, I train hard and do the stuff on the ice that I need to do to continue to work hard to become a better player. And so, you know, I understand. I'm the type of player that the way I play, I'm pretty confident in how I play and in my abilities. So, you know, I'm up for the challenge. I'm excited, you know, to get out there and hopefully help this team. I think we got a pretty good roster shaping up right now, and to help this team get back to its winning ways, you know, that's what the fans deserve and the people of Belfast deserve. So, you know, I'm just happy to be back, and hopefully, you know, I can help get back to the winning ways.
And you talked there about your training. How's the off season going? I see that on Twitter there you've been giving The Rock a few tips on what he needs to be doing better in the gym.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Getting to meet The Rock. It was actually right before that I had ended up signing with Belfast. So, you know, or I would have talked Belfast up a little bit with him. But no, it was pretty cool. But yeah, I've just been working out again. And, you know, today was actually the first time that I got back on the ice, and, you know, it felt good to get back out there again. And, you know, as the season goes, as the summer goes on, you know, I'll start progressing more and more, how much I skate. And, you know, I want to be ready to come in right away and hopefully, you know, feel like I'm in mid-season form and, you know, get off to the jump that I want. Last year, obviously, was a little frustrating with injuries. So, you know, I'm coming back 100% healthy, but I'm also hungry to, you know, have a good season.
And I don't know how much you know about the NCAA tournament that's coming to Belfast, but obviously, you know, you're a bossing new guy yourself. You've got that beanpot goal on your resume. You must be, you know, looking forward to the NCAA tournament at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I am. I went to the Frozen Four games when I came back. You know, BU was playing in the championship game. And, I think, you know, having the four teams come out there, I think it's going to be good exposure for both sides. You know, I think maybe some of the people, you know, and over in Europe, they're not really sure how big, you know, college hockey is. But, you know, yeah, it's going to be a great experience for both sides. And I think you guys are going to be pretty pleased with the caliber of hockey. I mean, my senior year, you know, I played with 10 guys who ended up going to the NHL from that team. And, yeah, I was third on that team of points, and now I'm playing in Belfast. But, you know, I was played with 10 other guys that have played in the NHL, and there's been much more since then. So NCAA is, you know, it's a great hockey caliber. And a lot of guys, you know, a lot of guys will end up going on and having very successful careers in the NHL. So it's always kind of special to be able to see them in college and growing their game before they end up getting professionally.
And one last question for you, Chris, before we let you go. Just how much are you looking forward to being the Belfast Datsuk again?
You know, I'm really excited. I can't wait. You know, I feel like, you know, this past season in Nottingham, there was a great group of guys there. But, you know, always I think a little bit in the back of my head was that I kind of had that feeling like, you know, I feel like something was missing, and that, you know, I always felt like Belfast was kind of the place where I wanted to be, you know, in the years coming up. So, yeah, I'm really excited. You know, I've always just, I had a really good season in Belfast the year before. And, you know, unfortunately, things didn't work out that I could come back. But, you know, I was thankful for Nottingham for the opportunity there. But, yeah, I think something, there was always a little bit of peace in the back of my mind saying that, you know, it'd always be cool to come back and be a Giant again.
Coach, listen, I don't think a week passed last season without you saying we're missing that Chris Higgins type of player.
Mate, honestly, I was absolutely over the moon whenever this signing was announced because, my goodness, and you're right, I said it all too often last year, by heck, we didn't half miss Chris Higgins last year. I mean, all three of us waxed lyrical about him the previous season. How good he was, how inventive he was, and you can't put a price tag on that type of player. I mean, he is the legitimate X factor player. He creates something out of nothing, and that's sometimes what you need in any sport. You need those types of guys, those flair players, the Messi, the Ronaldos, the George Best of football. You know, you look at ice hockey's exactly the same. Somebody who can just create something out of absolutely nothing. And that's what Chris Higgins provides. His stick work, phenomenal. You know, he's a great skater. You know, you speak to Paul Leary about, you know, because sometimes Higgy got a bit of stick, you know, from some of the fan base. And it doesn't really back check that much. You know, he kind of drifts in and out of the game. Paul Leary would tell you that he felt that Chris Higgins was one of our most hard-working players on the back check as well. So, I mean, a superb sign. I'm over the moon with it. I've no doubt. I mean, that interview with Davies is absolutely brilliant. I have to say, I love listening to every last word of it. I've spoken to Higgy there last week. And I mean, he's over the moon to be coming back. And, you know, listen, I think he's going to have a great, great season because he's another one that's, I know it sounds so cliched, and Craig Summerton no doubt will be all over me for saying this, but he's fallen in love with the city, loves the city, loves everything about the Belfast, nothing but good things to say about the city, and that's something that Belfast has seemed to provide for a lot of players over the years. And yes, it's going to be a good year seeing Chris Higgins, number 68, back in Teal again.
I'm sure the guys at the Cats Whiskers have tuned out by now, but it's the second ex-Nottingham Panther to say that they're more than happy to be at Belfast rather than Nottingham. But they would say that they've just signed for Belfast. Davey, you're obviously a happy man at this signing. It's a guy you christened the Belfast Datsuk, and it's a guy who's obviously got an immense amount of talent. However, I will bring up the fact that he only played 34 games last season, and we know ourselves that he took a few knocks and he was out. Is there a worry that he's a kind of an injury prone player?
Let's not focus on anything negative to do with Chris Higgins tonight. I'm sitting here with a smile that wide. You'd think I was trying to eat a dinner plate. It's, you know, I'm just delighted to have him back. And I was talking to Aaron Lord very, very briefly on Twitter today because he just doesn't want to engage in the conversation about the guy, you know. And he was saying, it's not really that big a loss to us because, you know, he wasn't that brilliant last season for us. And I'm trying to explain to Aaron that's because his legs were not in him, but his heart was in Belfast. We've put the two of them back together, and I'm expecting big things from Higgy here this season.
But yeah, I mean, I have to say, and I know I said this privately to Davey as well, I mean, just listening to that interview, you know, from Chris, I mean, he's one of those guys. He's not the most outgoing type guy. He's not the most, I was going to say confident, engross himself in the fan base and all that type of stuff. I mean, he's quite a shy guy in many ways. But, I mean, that guy, you can just hear the passion for Belfast in his voice, hear what he has to say about his time here in Belfast and how much, like, at different stages last year, he felt that there was something missing and he knew it was Belfast-related. So for Steve to bring him back, I'm so glad Steve recognised, you know, and it was painfully obvious, at various different junctures last season, how much we missed that creative flair. And that's what Higgy's done, and over the moon with the work that Thorch has done there and bringing Higgy back to Belfast.
I think
Paddy, one of the things that Steve Thornton had said in interviews over the last couple of weeks talking about, you know, they'd prepared, they knew Chris Higgins, what he could do, they knew the moves, they knew what he was going to do, but they couldn't do anything about it. And as coaches said, you've got that flair player in your team that can do the unexpected, that can undress a D-man, that can set a goal up, you know, 60-odd points in 50-something games for him. It says, you know, every game he's creating a goal, he's creating multiple goal scoring opportunities, he's creating goals. And that's one of the major things we missed at stages through the season, that, you know, we just didn't have that little spark to unlock defence that, that we're going to have this season. Now, I'm not going to, you know, go back on everything I said. That would be, you know, for me, signing for the Panthers was just the ultimate taboo. You know, Higgy said himself that he didn't just quite realise how much the Belfast fans, and I like the way he said, and everybody else as well, hates taunting him so much, you know. So, you know, there's a bit of realisation there that, you know, grass isn't always green on the other side, and everybody should take note. This is the place to play your hockey.
I think it's, for me, when I heard about the Higgins return, it was one of those ones. I remember how I felt when I heard that Robbie Sandrock was coming back to the squad. You know a guy, you know what he's able, you know what he's able to do, you know exactly where he'll fit in, you know, and you're just pleased to see him back. And I think with Chris Higgins having that flair player, and I agree with you guys, the fact that we did miss that flair player, that unexpected move, that unexpected dangle, being able to turn. How many times did we see Craig Kowalski being put on his backside? So much so that to try to avoid it, they hired him. You know, it's to have him, to have Higgy back on the side is a massive positive. I will say that that's where it ends. Until he unblocks me on Twitter, I am, that's the last good thing I'm going to say, but I'll just draw a line there. Listen,
how did Davies get blocked with all the Benjamin Franklin tweets?
I have no idea. He obviously took offense to something that I said, but come on, Higgy, unblock me. Guys, it's too early to judge with the embryonic of the recruitment here, but let's do it anyway. Your thoughts so far about what we need to bring in? Like, I'll start with yourself, Davey, and I'll maybe take Higgins as an example. When he was, you know, key to our title winning side there 2 seasons ago, he was with Surrett and with Chevrey, and those three guys were able just to feed off each other. It did look as if Higgins is the type of guy that does need to have a goal scorer, and he does need to have, you know, he needs to have the right chemistry with the right players. Where does Steve Thornton go with this from now on? Now we're looking towards maybe our top 6 forwards. What are you looking for?
I think, you know, we've got an abundance of talent already in our roster, but Steve Thornton himself has said that, you know, the top 6 players, some of them are going to be the very best players in this league. They're going to need to be our best players. We need that sniper in there. You know, all too often last season, we created an outshot teams 2-1, 3-1, and couldn't put the puck in the net. We need that out and out pure goal scoring sniper. We need the big body. We need the power forward, the fit Kevin Surrett, somebody that's going to put 40 plus goals up and put us right at the top of the stands. You know, Steve Thornton will know what he's trying to create. You know, what recipe he's trying to create. He's just got a few of his ingredients here, what else he needs. But, you know, for me, we need that, the John Pelly that played in Cardiff, you know, the one that's going to get you the 40, 50 goals. We haven't had that for, you know, with Sauce, whenever he connected with Chevy and Higgy, we haven't had that 50 goal scorer. You know, what do you call the guy in Hull, went to Coventry? Tendler. You know, somebody that consistently, season on season, can rack up multiple power play goals. Yeah, start with that. Multiple power play goals. Yeah, another one. You know, these top drawer guys. And Steve will be, you know, pulling together resumes. He'll be looking at things. He will have lots of contacts. He's looking, he's probably finished with his looking around the league. He may have players, you know, on contracts or players that he's talking to, but he'll, in the next few weeks, he'll be looking beyond, you know, the elite league for signings to come in. Ray Sawada, who knows what will happen with Razor, you know, will he be back in? Could have another standout season, done very, very well for us, didn't produce as many goals as he would want to. But, you know, for me, the likes of a Sawada, the big power forward, your Kevin Surrett and your John Pelly, something like that, the sniper, the power forward, and just the overall guy that's been in the NHL, that knows, been around the block. Somebody's going to come in here on a master's degree and, you know, tear it up for a season.
Coach, you know, we know from the last couple of seasons on A View from the Bridge that, you know, you like your big physical players. You've got them now. You like your flair players as well. You've got them in Chris Higgins. What are you looking for as Steve Thornton pushes forward to try to complete this Belfast Giants squad?
I think Davey's hit the nail on the head there, to be honest with you, Paddy. I mean, in our top six, we're looking at that bit of finesse. That sniper. I'm with Davey. I mean, Ray Sawada, I've said it many, many times throughout the course of last season, I would have back in an absolute heartbeat. Loved it, especially from kind of the turn of the new year and around Christmas time, right onwards to the rest of the season, right through to the playoffs. I mean, I thought Sawada was arguably our best player. His work rate, his energy, his physicality was top drawer. Just didn't, you know, produce the goals that probably Thorch was expecting whenever he signed him, but I mean, came up with a lot of power play goals for us. So I like a big power forward in there as well. I know you could argue definitely that we have that in terms of Keith and Lloyd and what have you. I still like that kind of Sawada type player in there as well, intertwined with the finesse guys. I mean, you know, Surrett, you know, big question mark is Surrett, you know, picked up a lot of injuries last year, but the previous season, I mean, Kevin will tell you himself, last season was the first time in 7 years that he's been out injured. And, you know, he had an awful season. Felt so bad for him because there's a guy that eats, sleeps and drinks Belfast Giants, scores a lot of goals. We couldn't replace it last year, and we need to make sure we either find another Kevin Surrett, or you never know, will Steve Thornton go down that line? Will he take a bit of a risk on Surrett? Who knows?
Well, it'll be very interesting to see over the next couple of weeks what Steve Thornton is able to put together. Guys, we're trying to battle through here the quite a bit yet to talk about, and I don't know how long this show's going to go, but it'd be wrong not to chat about the fact the friendship for the NCAA tournament that's been organized for the Odyssey Arena between the 27th and the 29th of November this year. That's American Thanksgiving weekend. It's the first time the NCAA has taken to competitive games outside of North America, with UMass Lowell, Northeastern University, Brown and Colgate competing for what will be called the Belpot Trophy. Ticket info is going to be following in due course, and it was all announced in Boston with Mayor Marty Walsh of Boston and the Belfast Lord Mayor Arda Carson. And Davey, it's an exciting initiative. The fact is, the Belfast Giants, and we know how much hard work has went into this, with like Sir Robert and Steve, and trying to push to have something a little bit different in the UK for hockey. And this is, you just hear it from some of the mentions in the interviews before, this is a big event.
I think it was Ryder Cup Friday last September time, and with the Boston Mayor Marty Walsh on the show when they were announcing that this was going to happen, people, you know, it went off the hook in Boston, this will never happen. Okay, we haven't brought the beanpot, we were never trying to. But this is a big deal, and I think they've announced that it's going to be for a number of years. These guys are going to come over here in the weeks coming up to the tournament. They're going to go to schools. They're going to go to universities. They're going to outreach people and tell them, you know, what the potential for scholarship, not just for hockey, for all different things that they've named, you know, swimming, field hockey, all different things that you can do in the States, and see how these athletes live and, you know, take from that. Try and send kids America. But aside from that, the standard of hockey that is coming is going to be absolutely, you know, mind blowing. These guys are suited up well, you know, they wear the cage and they'll be all going 100 mph and the hits. That was something that Jeff Mason, you know, they talked about last year when we said about wearing the cage. You know, people think they're unbreakable, and this is the kind of hockey you're going to get, 110 mph hockey. And, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, top talent has came through these four universities, especially, you know, just in recent years, the likes of UMass Lowell, Dwayne Rollison, you know, the very, very famous NHL goalie, came from there. Bobby Robbins went through the university. One for us, Paddy, Dan McGillis came through, through Colgate, drafted by the Wings, and probably his big, you know, over 700 games in the show, but probably his biggest help to the Red Wings was he never played a game. We traded him for Kirk Malty before he played a single game for the Red Wings. Mm-hmm. So he did very well for our organization, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's going to be interesting to see this was supposed to be a bit of a showcase as well, what Belfast can do. We can put on something like this with the view to maybe 1 year down the line, you know, will we be able to hold the playoffs? We'll be able to put on a hockey festival that'll rival anything going in Europe. You know, Will we get the likes of the Zambonis over to play a bit of a gig that weekend? Who knows, but it's going to be a really exciting time. I'm going to make sure I've got a ticket for it.
Coach, listen, Davey's already mentioned the fact that it's this sort of union between Boston and Belfast in regards to the councils working together as well. And it shows about the Belfast Giants brand and the Odyssey's brand in regards to UK hockey is that it's just growing and growing and growing. And this is just another example of that.
Listen, it's a great initiative. It's a great partnership between Boston and Belfast. I love everything about it. I mean, obviously the Bruins were here a few years ago and what a success that was and showcased our city, our organisation, our facilities to NHL players. And I mean, look at the opportunity that we're now going to have to bring these teams over here over Thanksgiving. They're going to be able to experience the culture. As Davey said, they're going to be going out and about around the city, visiting various different schools. No doubt we'll have media all over it as well. I mean, Nigel Ringland and Hayden Parry there at the BBC, and I'm sure UTV and many other media outlets will give it plenty of exposure as well.
And a view from the bridge. Sure,
yeah, absolutely. and of course, we're going to be heading, that footage will be going back across the Atlantic as well. So, I mean, anything to showcase our club, our organisation, is a positive thing. It'll be such a positive thing overall for the organisation. And I've no doubt whatsoever that these guys coming over here, you just never know. We might be able to pick up a player or two. You know, I'm sure Steve Thornton will be glued to all of those games. You just never know. You might be able to land another Chris Higgins or another stud and a guy who maybe in a few years' time could go on and play in the NHL again. And you just never, ever know what materializes out of these things. So for me, it's a very positive venture, and it's going to be a great weekend of hockey intertwined with some elite league action as well. So it's going to be a real festival feel about it. No question about that, Paddy.
One other thing, Paddy, that's came through, came especially out last week at the fans event when you were wee while before, but that, Shane Johnson is back involved with the organization, project managing this. You know, they've picked a fantastic guy who's got a rich history with the club and said, Johnny, come on board here, run this whole thing for us. Great to see that the organisation is going back to its roots as well and making sure that the guys who have a history with the organisation and a history and, in the Boston area that, we're putting the right people in the right places to make this happen.
Has to go a lot of credit to the organisation about the amount of work that's went on over quite a while to try to make this happen. And now it's actually become public and we'll hear about tickets in a short while. And even likes of our good friend Dave Scuffham in Sheffield and all these guys who are looking on and they're saying, well, we're going to go to that. There's going to be quite a draw from right across the league to this weekend just to see this high standard of hockey. And I say, who knows where we go from here? Because if it seems to be a multiple year deal and it's just good for hockey here. It's good for the exposure of the Giants. It's good for the exposure of the Elite League. That's good for the exposure of the city.
I know, Paddy, you're wanting to move on quickly, but I think that's what sets our organisation apart from every other organisation in the Elite League. The things that we do away from the Elite League, what we do in terms of bringing the Bruins over here, those initiatives with the NCAA, those partnerships with other cities across the Atlantic. I mean, our brand is so well known across North America. It really is, and this type of event will only further that even more. So, listen, ticks all round for me.
Absolutely, credit to them. Guys, let's quickly look across the league and what's been happening. There is a hell of a lot to talk about, so I'll cherry-pick a few things. We have to start with South Yorkshire and what happened with the Sheffield Steelers. The league-winning coach, a guy who's won two trophies in two seasons for the Sheffield Steelers in Gerard Adams, was ceremoniously ditched by Tony Smith, looking forward to try to redevelop. And I think it was sort of led to the fact that they looked at what happened with the Coventry Blaze and Chuck Webber, and they realized they needed to restructure with the under-20s coming in and have to bring in a coach. And obviously two trophies in 2 years wasn't enough for them. Coming in, Paul Thompson, a well-known name within the Elite League, one of the more successful coaches this side of the water. And Coach, your thoughts on that? Because the Sheffield Steelers, when they had Ryan Finnerty, were chasing and chasing and chasing and never really quite got there. In comes G, wins two trophies, and as soon as he wins the league for them, a title they hadn't held since Ben Simon took them to that title, he's gone. right decision.
You forgot about Doug Christensen after Finner as well.
True.
Right decision. I feel sorry for G. I like him. He's a good man. He'll have given it his absolute best, and he's done what he was asked, what was asked of him. He's brought a league championship and he brought a playoff championship to South Yorkshire. In terms of Sheffield Steelers' vision of the role, I think Paul Thompson probably encapsulates what they're looking for perfectly. So I think it was harsh on G because he did what it was asked of him. But in terms of the way that the club were moving forward and the vision that Tony Smith has for the Sheffield Steelers and the whole development of the under 20 league, etc., Paul Thompson is the right man. So I wasn't overly shocked. There was a bit of a rumour doing the rounds for a few weeks anyway, mm-hmm. leading up to it. Sheffield have just got better. I know that's kind of Doug Christensen old saying, you know, whenever you brought in a top player or whatever. But I mean, Paul Thompson is meticulous. To me, he sets the standards in terms of coaching. Into Paul Thompson in terms of coaching. Over the last few years was Chuck Webber last year. Thompson's meticulous. He knows the league inside out. He's got a great rapport with agents, with players right across Europe and probably further afield as well. So, I mean, you just look at some of the pedigree players that Sheffield have already signed. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with next season.
David, do you think that the Champions Hockey League had a lot to do with this? Now, coach has brought up the fact that, you know, that G brought two trophies to Sheffield. He also brought players like Matt Terroir, who signed a multi-year deal moving forward. Do you think that maybe looking at the CHL, the Sheffield Steelers were looking for a guy with European experience?
It's hard to know what exactly goes on in the minds of the likes of Tony Smith and David Sims, because, you know, the press releases for all these coaches' signings are more or less the same. The problem you've got is they said, you know, we're not sure about G because, you know, he's always been always the bridesmaid, is it? Never the bride. And he's came to Sheffield. They've given the budget. He's signed players like, you know, Roy, Forney, Fretter. He's won them the playoffs. He's won them the league the following season. Two trophies in 12 months. He's taken them to the Challenge Cup finals. He couldn't have done a lot more. So got to take them at their word that they're trying to develop the organisation a different way. It'll be interesting to see exactly what Tomo does differently to the G. You know, no doubt G will pop up on another, you know, in the gentleman's club that the IHL is, he'll pop up on another in another organisation sooner rather than later, no doubt. And you got to feel sorry for him. You know, he's moved a long way from Cardiff there up to Sheffield for the job, and it hasn't worked out. I think he leaves there with a lot of dignity. I think Sheffield could have handled themselves with a bit more class and on social media as they always could. But it'll be an interesting time. Tomo's brought in a couple of real good signings there already.
Two big D-men.
Probably seen the press release, I think it was today or yesterday, you know, the one of the outstanding D-men from Denmark last season, and very mobile young guy. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in Sheffield there. Checkbook hockey, as we say there, Sheffield seem to always have a lot of money to throw at things, and you know, I'm sure these players aren't going to come in cheap, but they've got, as you say, the CHL coming up here, the draw for it tomorrow, and they're another club they're going to be looking to roll four lines, so you know, they've got a lot, the likes of Rob Dowd and stuff, back down to contracts. It'll be interesting days ahead for Sheffield to see what way they go, especially with this under 20 development side.
Well, it is interesting with regards to the D. They're really going to have to bolster that D because they have lost Mark Thomas to Manchester. You know, that's a big loss. Anyway, moving forward, Nottingham Panthers. After a lot of speculation, Corey Nielsen actually returned, signed a new contract, and returns as the coach of the Nottingham Panthers. Were you surprised at that, Coach?
I was, because certainly the strong whispers during the rounds, certainly at the playoffs, was that Corey was gone. He was looking elsewhere, and I think it was going to be a bit of a mutual agreement, you know, that it was maybe time to move on for both parties. So I was a bit surprised, to say the least. I mean, we've seen a bit of a charm offensive from Corey kind of since he signed that contract. A bit more open in some of the interviews that he's given since then, and kind of spoke about you know, the uncertainty of, you know, not knowing whether Neil Black and the ownership there wanted him back. And now that he is back, you know, you just get the feeling, you just wonder whether that kind of lull for 2 or 3 weeks, that ambiguity, that uncertainty, maybe affected a couple of the signings. Did Doucette leave to go to Cardiff because he wasn't 100% sure what was happening in Nottingham with the coach? Into Belfast, was it down to Corey's uncertainty? Who knows? These are questions that we probably can't answer and what have you. But I think Corey, by the sounds of it, has got the bit between the teeth. He's had a couple of very average seasons. You know, I talked about it extensively last year. I was at Nottingham Panthers team years, which is unstereotypical of what you expect from the Panthers. You expect them to be big, bad, physical, intertwine with your David Lings, your Chris Higgins type players, you know, real skillful players. Remember Lee Drew and all these guys. And they've kind of got away from that kind of free flowing and also physical hockey that seemed to be their bit of a hallmark or brand that Corey liked to put out there. So I think he'll have the bit between the teeth, but I think he's taken a bit of a punch to the face, so he has, with a couple of those guys moving on. But no doubt Corey will, again, Davey talked about checkbook hockey and what have you. I mean, Nottingham Panthers have got a damn good budget. You make no bones about it, Corey Neils will have a very good team out in the ice for the Nottingham Panthers come August.
Of course, adding to Schmidt and Mosey coming back, Matt Myers returns from Coventry and Swindlehurst joins from the Dundee Stars. Davey, the Coventry Blaze, another surprise, they retain Chuck Webber as coach, the playoff winning Coventry Blaze, and they've brought a few good signs in there. Was that a surprise? A guy of the standard of Chuck Webber remaining within the Elite League?
It was kind of a surprise in so much as it had been muted that he was in for a few months as a favour to Tomo and he'd be going again. It was interesting that Tomo in his interview with Dave Sims was asked, you know, is there a conflict of interest? Have you got any interest in Coventry anymore? And he says, I have had no input into Coventry Blaze at all for the last 2 years. Apart from putting in their new head coach, which is quite a large influence, I would have thought, you know. Yeah. So Tomo signed the what people are you know salivating over as the second coming, you know, the best coach in the league and stuff. But good signing. He's proven himself, you know, a very capable. He turned that country club round, and some players had to go out for that to happen, and he's got a chance now to, you know, build a very good roster. It'll be interesting to see. You know, we talked about Chuck Webber being the man that could coach a roster that was given to him. It'll be interesting to see just how many times over the last number of years he's had to recruit his own roster, or will Tomo Obi have any effect on the roster at Coventry, or is he going to be allowed to just build his own team? It'll be interesting to see what sort of team he puts together. Will it be jobs for the boys again, or will he be going, as Tomo has started already, you know, bringing players from outside this league in early?
That's it. He's brought in Ned Lukasiewicz, of course, from the Five Flyers. He's brought in a couple of guys he's known from his time in the AHL, ECHL. It'll be very interesting to see who puts together. Coach, will come to you in the Cardiff Devils. They're still at the early stages of their recruitment, but to return the likes of Martin, to bring in Salters from the Clan, and Doucette from the Nottingham Panthers is a real statement of intent of where they're going to go from here.
Yes, I had a good chat with the former Belfast Giants employee at the weekend there, and
Alan Hamilton.
He's on a mission. Good old Hammy, he's heading off to Berlin, I believe.
Yeah, isn't he?
Yeah, we wish him all the very best on his ventures. But yes, Mr. Kelman, bit between the teeth again. I mean, I think we know damn rightly what Killer's like, and you know, he's going to make sure, as will Andrew Lord, that Cardiff Devils team go from strength to strength under their leadership. And I expect them to put a good bit more resource, even more so than last year, behind the team. I think the owners totally and utterly bought into everything Cardiff Devils, loved everything that the fan base, you know, brought for them as well last year. I mean, it's just a rejuvenated organization there. And I mean, whenever you bring in the likes of Doucette, I mean, he was excellent for the Panthers last year. He's fast, he's nippy, he's that sniper, almost that type of player that we're now kind of looking for, you know, for a couple of those top six positions. Lee Salters, arguably the best power forward in the league, put up big points with Nottingham, put up massive points with Brayhead Clan. He is, as Aaron Murphy would say, he's tougher than the night in jail. I mean, that guy is as tough as anything that you're going to find out there in the Elite League. Him and Adam Keefe obviously saw a bit of dancing time there a couple of seasons back. You know, and then bringing back Joey Martin and then of course Andrew Lord himself. I mean, it's got the makings of a very good team, that Cardiff Devils team. And again, I think they'll go from strength to strength.
Up in Brayhead, Zach Sullivan, Matt Keefe, Matty Haywood all return. Ben Davies as well, and they brought in Jordan Kearney from the EPL. But Davey, across the way in Dundee on the far coast, Jeff Hutchins out and Mark Lefebvre back in the Elite League. Interesting one.
Yeah, and once again, it's a bit the same as players, you know, for owners to bring in coaches that know the league, know the travel schedules, know the teams that are coming, know the players that are coming. You know, you could call it lazy or you could call it clever in so much as bit like Doucette going to Cardiff there, you know, a known quantity. When they had the opportunity previously in this last season when they had a player injured, they brought in a new quantity rather than someone who was new, known around the league, you know, and Doucette ended up, Doucette was obviously free because he ended up in Nottingham, you know, so there's the risk reward, you know, you risk taking a player from outside the league, you risk bringing in a new coach, the Chuck Webber, you know, Tomo obviously knew the credentials of Webber and knew it would work out, but you know, the risk for Dundee is going out there and trying to find the likes of the guy that brought in at Brayhead a couple of seasons ago, whose name, Gardner, you know, came in, didn't work out, came in with a fantastic CV. For all the world, you would have thought would have worked out. It didn't work out, wasn't part of the club. You know, interesting to see the rise of the Scottish teams, and you've got the likes of Fife then losing their players to perceived bigger teams, Nickerson going to Belfast, Big Ned Lukasiewicz going down to Coventry, you know, so the likes of Dundee and all will do well to hold on to their star players. But, you know, Ferbey's got a job on his hands there. He's talking about getting his first announcement of his first import in the next few days. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of roster he builds. Over the last few years, he's obviously, you know, came in and he was an assistant coach in Sheffield. He took a roster on in Coventry. You know, this is a bit like Chuck Webber. He's got the opportunity to build his own empire there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
There's a bit of a whistle-stop tour around the league. There was... Of course, we did have intent of chatting about the recent IHUK memo regards to the 75% rule, the new ones come in on work permits, but we'll cover that better in a future show because I want to discuss that effect with Steve Thornton and maybe get a few other involved parties to have a look if that's affected their recruitment. And at this point then, I'm going to turn to yourself, David, and have we had any Ask Davies?
Yes, Paddy, we have. We've actually covered a whole lot of the Ask Davies up and down through the show there. You know, Aaron Lord had asked a question. We've obviously answered that. But one comes in from Lee Clements, and that's, why sign Nickerson to toughen us up this year when Westgarth wasn't used for that reason last year?
Westgarth was intent to be used in that, and Westgarth decided himself he didn't want to be used like that. I think that's more or less the answer, Coach.
Yeah, 110%. I mean, the three of us battered that drum all season long last year. Steve Thornton signed Kevin Westgarth to come in and be that impact player, to be that guy who was in people's faces night in, night out, finished his checks, was intimidating. Let's just be honest about it, boys. I said it quite a few times in last season's podcast. He just wasn't.
Nope.
It's simple as that. He just wasn't. It was a frustration, no doubt whatsoever. I mean, the big guy just was a hard man to get rattled, and which was amazing coming from where he came from. And it just sometimes shows you, I know we had this discussion many, many times privately with ourselves and what have you about it. I mean, do you go for that guy who has come out of the show or come out of those top leagues as a tough guy, and all of a sudden, you know, you bring him down and play in the Elite League, all of a sudden scored. The worst thing I think nearly happened was Kevin Westgarth scored in his very first game for the Belfast Giants. These guys all of a sudden think that they're frickin' Pavel Datsyuk or the next Theo Fleury in this league. And that's not what he was. And that's why people love the likes of Adam Keefe. Adam Keefe knows what he is. Adam Keefe's not a 45 or 50 goal scorer every year. Adam Keefe's a heart and soul of a team. He is a heartbeat of a team. He is somebody who goes out, he's an energy player. He will drop the gloves at any given time. And that's the thing that I like about this signing with Matt Nickerson. Nickerson knows his role inside out. He knows his level. He knows his role. He will fulfill that night in, night out. Westgarth didn't. It was not a Steve Thornton thing. It was 100% a Kevin Westgarth thing. Okay, maybe on the flip side of that, people say, well, why was Steve Thornton not able to motivate him to go and do that? Well, I would turn around and say on the flip side of that, Kevin Westgarth wasn't being a total professional in fulfilling the role that he's always played in the professional sport of hockey.
Davey, your input on this?
I have a whole lot of times on that Belfast Facebook forum and obviously now on Twitter as well, had to kind of defend Steve Thornton. And, you know, people, I don't know where the notion is came from, but they seem to think it's very accurate that Steve Thornton, to use some of the terminology, had him on a leash, wouldn't let him go, benched him rather than playing. You look at Kevin Westgarth's performance for 10 or 15 minutes in the playoff quarterfinal against Cardiff at home. That is the talent Kevin Westgarth had. Do you think for 1 minute Steve Thornton the rest of the season said, don't play like that? I stood with Steve Thornton outside Cardiff, pulling out what little hair he had left. Why won't Westgarth, you know, we are asking him to play a game. It's not a coaching issue. As coach has already said there, it was a Kevin Westgarth issue. In Ireland on holiday, perhaps? Who knows? Whenever he was in Northern Ireland, he wasn't doing the business in the Odyssey. Whenever he was away on his weekends away, was he just here for a trip? It'd be interesting to see where he pops up this season. And will he turn around and be that wrecking ball that he has the potential to be? He didn't get to where he was in his career being a passive guy. You know, he's a big, big guy. And at times in the Giants, he showed what he had, but nowhere near often enough and not often enough to earn a new contract.
He wasn't bothered, was he? He's got a ton of money in the bank. He just came on. He just said, "I can do a bit of traveling of the world with my reputation more than just my hockey skills." So it was disappointing. I have to totally agree with both you gentlemen. It was 100% a Kevin Westgarth in his head thing and not a coaching aspect. But anyway, I think that's our only ask, Davey, for the day.
Yeah, well, there was one from Aaron Lord, but, you know, I think it would be a bit disingenuous. Akwon will answer it. How do you feel about your team signing two ex-Panthers to improve on last season's roster? I'm going to go first, Lordy. We have made your team worse, and we have made our team better. Good luck recruiting a team that'll beat us this season, and we'll see you in September.
I think we'll just leave it at that, Coach. What do you think?
Yeah, happy with that, man.
Any other business, Mr. Russell?
No, don't think so, Paddy. I've enjoyed this one. It's been a long one, but I think judging by the interaction on Twitter, fans have been, listeners of the podcast have been crying out for us to get a show out there, and the longer the better, because obviously the off-season we don't do the weekly show, so it's once every so often. So I hope everyone enjoys the show, and it's been a good one.
Absolutely. David?
No, Paddy, it's been nice to chat to you guys. No doubt we'll be talking again in 5 minutes on WhatsApp.
Well, I say it's the 12th of May. It's still a long way to go before the Elite League starts once again. But we'll be back next month for another off-season special. Until then, we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Touch it up against the world and steal you around.